Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Does America First actually mean war first? Trump calls himself a peacemaker, but his actions demonstrate differently. The Gaza ceasefire is unlikely to hold. There has been escalation against Russia, and military action against Venezuela is almost certain. This is not a peace agenda. Crosstalking Trump's foreign policy, I'm joined by my guest, Ron Aledo in Miami. He is a former CIA contractor and intelligence advisor to the Afghan police. In Brunswick, we have Bruce Gannon. He is a coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. And in Brazil, we cross to Simon Gadeg. He is a scientist and political activist. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Bruce, let me go to you first here. Maybe I'm going into the area of hyperbole, but I'm getting the sense that America First means war first more and more often as this administration goes into the future. Your thoughts, Bruce?
It sure looks that way. And I will say that it's increasingly a problem for Donald Trump and his administration because he's losing more and more of his supporters who signed up because of his promise to end the wars, to release the Epstein files, and all these kind of things. So I think Trump has really put himself into a corner, and it's going to be very difficult to get out of. I still don't think he's going to make it through the end of his term for one reason or the other, either his health or driven out of office. But he's really betrayed the spirit of his so-called revolution that promised America First. It's nothing to do with America First today.
Well, Simon, how do you explain that? Because, you know, when Trump was elected last year, I called it a world historic event. I mean, he came back after all of the lawfare against him. He came back. He won all the battleground states. He won the popular vote. Amazing for a Republican in this day and age. And he ran on the things that Bruce just mentioned here. So what has happened, Simon?
So first of all, I want to say I also rooted for Trump in this case, but we could have known better, you know. So it was clear that Miriam Adelson and her folks were heavily financing Trump. So we could have expected similar things. But I mean, we were all blind. We were all like, okay, Biden, you know, the autopan president. I mean, like, how could it be worse? And now we are seeing something that even most Trump supporters are like, okay, wow, this is way too much, you know. But I want to make something clear. So I think there's a big difference between America First and MAGA. So America First, basically non-interventionist nationalism, like Thomas Massey, MTG, they are America First. MAGA is not per se America First, they're Israel First. So I think using the term America First is something we should be careful about. I mean, Trump used it in the past, but it's not like this anymore. I mean, they're trying to meddle in everything.
He's gone as far as saying that he determines what it means. That's a bit of a stretch, considering, you know, he was elected by the people. So, Ron, how much different is it, Trump's foreign policy, from the Biden foreign policy?
Well, it's not that different. Other than USAID, he cut USAID, and he cut some of the what we call the woke programs of USAID. And he's not giving the money free now to Ukraine. He's doing it through sales of weapons, not as a loans or donations like Biden used to do. So it's kind of different in some ways, not that different in reality, because the intelligence and the weapons are still going to Ukraine. I believe that what Trump is doing basically is the compromise of government. I mean, being in government other than the promises of campaign. He has very good people in his cabinet, like paleoconservative people, like Tulsi Gabbard, like J.D. Vance. He has also the advice of Tucker Carlson. But he also has very bad people in his cabinet, neocons, warmongers, globalists, like Sebastian Gorka, that hates Russia very much. And he also hears the advice of people like all the neocons in Congress, like Lindsey Graham, Cotton, Ted Cruz, etc. I think it's the compromise of government. And you have to understand something. Next year, 1 year from now, there's going to be the midterm elections. And he needs to win those elections. He needs to win those elections in Congress, in the Senate and the House. Because if the Democrats take over the Senate or the House, they might kick out Trump, and his legacy is going to be destroyed. They might try to impeach him. So I think that what Trump is trying to do right now, he's trying to unify the party, the paleoconservative, America First, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tucker Carlson, Macy, etc. But he also wants to give a chance to the neocons, warmongers, and globalists. He needs a unified party in order to win the elections in November of 2026.
But he can't unify the party if he goes against the policies that he ran on, Bruce, okay? I mean, the attack on Iran. I mean, even Biden didn't do that, okay? And then considering facilitating the continued genocide in Gaza. His ceasefire, well, what is it? You know, the Palestinians ceased and the Israelis keep firing, okay? I mean, what is that? Are we ever going to get to stage two? It doesn't even look like that, not even close. And of course, as I said in my introduction, Venezuela looms on the horizon. Bruce.
Absolutely. You know, I think that what Trump and his minions, his Zionist minions, have done to Palestine, the West Bank, and Gaza is absolutely intolerable. It's criminal, and it must be opposed by governments around the world who are really falling to the wayside when it comes to this issue. On Venezuela, it's very clear that if Trump attacks Venezuela, they're going to create a civil war there in that country. And the people have been armed by Maduro. They're going to be able to fight back against any incursion by the United States or any in any civil war. So I believe the United States, its main goal, whether we're talking about Ukraine or Venezuela or the Middle East, it's always about chaos. They want to create chaos because in chaos, they feel like they can take control of the region. In fact, we see now Israel moving into Greater Israel, attacking Lebanon again, really taking a large control of Syria as well. So the chaos is really what they do. It's what they it's the only thing they have to offer the world and their donors, their supporters, the deep state people who really run American foreign policy. So in the end, they're going to keep killing people as long as they can, as long as they can get away with it. And I believe ultimately both parties in Washington support this. During the Biden administration, look what they were doing in Palestine. And look how the Democrats have been supporting what's been going on in Ukraine for years.
Yep.
So it's a bipartisan chaos program.
Yeah, and it shows a lack of leadership. I'm sorry, okay? The buck stops where it stops here. Simon, it's being reported that the United States is going to open up another military base, not shut down bases, open up a new one in Israel on the border of Gaza at the cost of, what, $500 million. Well, that's a lot of money to be splashing around when a peace process should be started instead of creating military bases. Simon.
So I got my personal opinion here or my personal theory. You know, I'm kind of this conspiracy theorist that usually is right after 1 or 2 years. So I if I remember correctly, they found a huge gas field in front of
yes.
in front of Gaza.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think they want to secure this. It's the same like in Syria, you know. They were like getting into Syria, and then Trump said, "Oh, we're keeping the oil." And the same about Venezuela. Let's be honest. You know, Venezuela has the biggest oil reserves. I think it's 300 billion barrels, so which is a lot. And now with AI rising and they need more data centers that, need more electricity, the United States need cheap electricity. And, like, renewable energy is not cheap, but gas and oil is cheap. And this is my theory. I think they just want to secure oil, just like they did.
Simon, if I can stay, I think to maintain hegemony, okay? I mean, I think oil, energy, resources, those, they're always in the mix, okay? But it's still Pax Americana. I mean, you can dress it up all you want, but that's still what it is. And I agree with our other guests here. That's just the DNA of American foreign policy. You can say different things about it, but in the end, it's like a huge aircraft carrier that needs like 25 miles to turn around. Let me stay with you, Simon.
It all comes back to the big stick policy is still intact, right? I mean, like, they've done this 100 years ago, and it's still there. They want to control the Americas, and they're still doing this. And of course, now with globalism, they go further than that. So. And if we're honest, I mean, the United States is a puppet state of Israel. So the United States would do whatever Israel is asking them to. I mean, like, we can talk about why. I mean, like, maybe Trump is on some Epstein files. We can talk about why. Maybe they're just loyal. Maybe he just believes in it. But the fact is that Israel is literally dictating American foreign policy.
And I think there's going to be political consequences for that. As we wrap up the first part of the program, what people are talking about, what people are saying now about the U.S.-Israel relationship was unheard of 3 years ago. And I don't think this is a conversation that's going to, the current conversation is going to go away anytime soon. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to get more and more explosive because America First isn't really helping Americans. And people are realizing that. The last few elections, last week, last 10 days ago, prove that. All right, I'm going to interrupt myself. I'm going to jump in. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Trump's foreign policy. Stay with our team. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaVelche. Remind you, we're discussing Trump's foreign policy. Let me go back to Ron in Miami. I read a couple of days ago someone describing Trump's foreign policy, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and I'd like to ask all three of my guests here. Trump's foreign policy is charm and then harm. Do you like that description?
I mean, he have a big ego. He wants to get the Nobel Prize, so he wants to have protagonism in all war affairs. He brags about how many peace agreements he have been doing. Obviously, that disappoint his base. His base was not expecting this foreign policy. It's very disappointing that he obviously is doing what the Zionists are telling him to do. It's very disappointing that he did not cut the intelligence and the weapons to Ukraine, because that's the easiest and fastest way to end the war in Ukraine, to cut all the aid to Zelensky, that is a puppet after all. So it's very disappointing, but we have hope. And our hope is that after the elections of November 2026, 1 year from now, that is the last election that he's gonna have while in office, we have the hope, we wish at least that after those elections, his hands are gonna be a lot more free to have a more independent foreign policy.
Why doesn't that apply now? Because he's not going to run again. I mean, he doesn't have to worry about donors per se. Okay, I think he's much more of a free agent.
Yeah, but he needs the Senate. He needs the Senate, and he needs the House, or they might try to kick him out again.
They will impeach him, no doubt about it. And when he leaves office, they'll probably impeach him again, okay? There's no doubt about that.
Wins the Republican Party, wins the Senate and the Congress, the chances of being impeached are dramatically reduced.
Yeah,
if the Democrats win, they for sure will impeach him.
Yeah, okay, we'll see. Bruce, I think it's already been mentioned. I think it was Ron that mentioned it. Donald Trump is campaigning for Lindsey Graham. How do you understand that?
Desperation.
Yeah.
Trump needs somebody to be his attack dog, to keep the right-wingers, the warmongers, the Zionists, in check, you know, on side, because he's losing the rest of his base daily. The work of Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens is remarkable, as they're daily taking him down, talking about issues that normally people on the left are talking about.
Yep.
And they're bringing a lot of the MAGA people into at least the middle, if not even towards the left now. Yep. And so this is really distressing to Trump. So he needs somebody out there banging the drum and blowing the horn, you know, and threatening to genocide the whole world if necessary. And that's what Lindsey Graham is really good about. He and John McCain were fundamental in the war in Ukraine in the early days, yep, going there, promising weapons, promising eternal support by the Congress for the Nazis in Ukraine in their early days of it. And so now he's doing the same thing, but it's not working anymore.
You know,
in fact, the more Lindsey Graham talks, the worse it gets for Trump, I think.
I absolutely agree with you. You know, Simon is in a little bit of a sidebar, but I really appreciate what Bruce had to say, because I see it with my own eyes. Just earlier in this week, I had on a MAGA guest, let's call it that, and a progressive guest. And then we had kind of a centrist. And it was the MAGA guy agreeing with the progressive, and the progressive was agreeing with the MAGA guy. I mean, this is what I'd always hoped for, okay? Because there's so much more that we have in common. But if you look at Twitter, it's all what divides us, okay? And I think that if there's any ray of hope, that is it, because we can talk to each other. It's not forbidden. Tucker talked to Nick Fuentes. Maybe Nick Fuentes isn't your cup of tea, but I like people challenging ideas. People like that. People like engagement instead of cancellation. So Trump has to deal with that, because he's losing his base dramatically with the policies that he's supporting. I don't know if you saw the interview with Laura Ingraham. I think he lost his marbles. This is MAGA. This is America first. It was extraordinary. Simon.
So first of all, I think it's important that we should be allowed to talk to everybody.
I agree.
I'm a libertarian. I don't get along with Nick Fuentes personally, but I like the majority of his messages. Let's put it like this. I think, you know, everybody should, I mean, like RT, you know, you've guys been canceled in Europe because of alleged misinformation while they're lying like they're breathing. So, you know, it's an upside down world. And, you know, what I think is even more concerning, or the most concerning, is that there are still politicians out there, especially in the United States, like Tom Cotton, Ted Cruz. We talked about Lindsey Graham. Most importantly, Randy Fine. I don't know if you know this Jewish walking double whooper, you know. He is like officially always saying, like, okay, we should glass them, which means like we should nuke civilians in Gaza. He was publicly saying that civilians should be nuked several times.
Yep.
And when some random person shows up and throws coins at some barstool Presidente Portnoy, you know, and says the Jays, you know, then he's going after them to get them canceled, to get them thrown out of university. And he's done this with many people. So there was one incident, I think, in Florida, University of Florida.
I saw it. Yeah.
Where there was this guy with the IDF shirt, and a person got mad at it. I mean, like, of course, the IDF, in my opinion, is a terrorist organization. So you can get mad at it. And he was filming it, and she was, like, you know, hitting his phone or whatever. Like, a girl hitting a guy's phone. And he got upset. He put it online. And Randy Fine got her canceled. So this is like the kind of world we're living in, you know, where politicians cancel those.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I mean, and Simon, who are the snowflakes now, okay? Who are the wokesters now, okay? That's what's really extraordinary. Like, how can anyone with a conscience watch Mark Levine? That guy, he's a certifiable lunatic. He's a lunatic, okay?
Cringe. It's cringe.
Yeah. Okay, Ron, you know, a theme I've been returning to on this program this year since Trump was inaugurated for the second time, I thought elections had consequences. So what gives here, okay? I mean, you have policies that in some cases that are 80-20, and by the time it gets to the government in Washington, D.C. and in the White House, it's the 20% that win, not the 80%.
Yes. Again, it's very disappointing that Trump has been taking so many steps against the base, against the America First base. It's very disappointing that he just went along with the Zionists, that he went along with the globalists, with Europe. He's not cutting the aid to Europe's puppet, to Zelensky. He's not cutting the intelligence sharing with Zelensky. That's very sad. That's very disappointing. But there is something also very positive about all this. I mean, and as sad and terrible as the support for the genocide in Palestine is, in Gaza is, there is something very positive. Like you said, 3 years ago, no one ever there in the United States to talk about, hey, I think that we should stop sending billions of dollars every year to this little country in the Middle East. I think that we should not do their wars, fight their wars. I think that we should not be actually their puppet here in Congress, that we should not be dominated by AIPAC. And that conversation now is mainstream, thanks to Tucker Carlson, thanks to Candace Owens, thanks to many others that are, listen, Major Terrell Green, and that conversation is now mainstream, something that was impossible, completely impossible 3 years ago. So I think that is very positive now. And again, as bad and as disappointing that the policies of Trump, foreign policy, have been for the last 8 months, 9 months, we still have hope. We still have hope that after the elections of November 2026, that last 2 years, that he will be a lot more free, a lot more able to carry a more patriotic, nationalistic, America focus, America first focus policy. So that's our hope. We don't know. I don't know the future. Maybe he will keep doing the errands of the Zionists. Hopefully not. But at least we have some kind of small hope that that will not be like that.
Yeah, well, you know, Bruce, and but what I think it's fair now. It's like 10, almost 11 months now. Well, maybe it was just an electoral trick. I mean, he doesn't feel compelled anymore. He doesn't seem to particularly care about his Marjorie Taylor Greene, whatever you think of her, she was a staunch supporter of the president because of his agenda. Well, the president abandoned his agenda, but she hasn't. And everybody knows that.
Well, he's not running for re-election anymore. So he can, you know, be his true self now, which is to be a sellout to the deep state. He talked about the deep state, but in the end, he's under control of it, whether it's AIPAC or Wall Street or the military-industrial complex. I mean, look at the massive military expansion today going on in the Asia-Pacific region, encircling China. I mean, it's absolutely clear that the United States is preparing for war with China and Russia all at the same time, and Iran, and now Venezuela. I mean, it's a world war that the United States is unleashing. And who does it benefit? It benefits Wall Street, the military-industrial complex, the NATO, NATO expansion into the Asia-Pacific, Israel, greater Israel. So, you know, Trump's true colors are really shining right now for the whole world to see. And because he, you know, essentially won the election because of his MAGA, Make America First doctrine, he's totally blown it with a huge portion of his base. People out in the rural areas of America are getting nothing from this administration, and their life is getting worse by the day. And everybody knows it. And you hear them talking about it, farmers.
Yeah, well, you know, they talked about the shutdown. Yeah, well, okay, so Congress people weren't working, but it didn't help Main Street, okay? If the government is open or not open, it's the same result for them. Gentlemen, fascinating discussion. We've run out of time. I want to thank my guests in Miami, Brunswick, and in Brazil. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.